The name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God.
Amen.
For some of you, that which we did this morning is a repeat of something we did not long ago for this same parish family. That is to consecrate the church temple. And for those of you who are not aware of that, the first church temple that St. Luke's built on Stonehenge was indeed consecrated, and its holy table was consecrated. The sacred relics of the martyrs were sealed in that holy table, and that holy table is here. That's why we didn't have to consecrate the holy table this morning. But shortly after they moved into their first church temple on Stonehenge, and not long after its consecration, others of you joined them. Before we knew it, that consecrated church temple became too small. So the walls were pushed out, except for the east wall, the altar wall. The walls were pushed out, the balcony was added, more faithful flocked to the church, and after a few years, that church became too small. Even when two liturgies were served on Sundays, the temple was still too small. And that's when God led this congregation, its clergy and its people, to begin plans for this glorious new church temple that will neither be expanded, take it from me, will not be expanded, and it's the last thing. I know soon it too will be filled to overflowing. And what we do then is build another temple, a sister parish, to St. Luke's. We thank God for this glorious day. We remember with gratitude the founders of this congregation. And not just the founders of this church temple, but the founders of this congregation, who together with Father David and a small flock sought the safety and truth of Holy Orthodoxy in the green pastures of the one Holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. Where they gathered for their first liturgies in that jail. Seems appropriate. The apostles we know were jailed for their faith. And St. Luke's began their worship experience in Holy Orthodoxy as a congregation in that little jail. We pray for those founders who were part of that first congregation, who have now gone on to paradise, we pray, where they await the second coming of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. We bless and ask long life and good health to the founders of this congregation who traveled from that little jail to Stonehenge and now here to this glorious temple in Erie. May God grant you all health and length of days and most importantly salvation and eternal delight and glory in the kingdom. This day we offered this building, the bricks and the mortar and the steel and the wood and the paint and the icons and the carpet, we offered it all to God. It's His. It's set apart. That's what consecrated means. It's set apart for His usage. Not just His worship, but His usage. For those of you who made the move from Stonehenge to hear and know that even when you're not here, even when the parking lot is empty and all the lights The guardian angel which God assigned to this holy table years ago, and which moved with you from Stonehenge here, is here standing at the holy table making intercession for you, and enlivening this building with all the hosts of angels and the saints and our God who have come to dwell here in. And the building itself, when you're all asleep, watching late night TV, when your own minds are far away from church, this church proclaims Holy Orthodoxy to all who see it, and can be seen from miles away. Andrew drove me from my hotel this morning to liturgy. We were 4 or 5 miles away, and Andrew pointed out to me that your temple proclaims Holy Orthodoxy, and you know that. The temple itself has brought people through those doors, perhaps not intentionally seeking our faith, perhaps just out of curiosity to see the inside of that curious church temple. But there's no way one can walk through the doors of this holy temple and not meet God, and meet Him face to face. It's not your church anymore. It's not my church. It's not even the bank's church, no matter what they think. This is God's holy temple. It's God's holy temple, and we pray at the end of its consecration that it might be filled with light and the grace of God now until our Savior comes again, when there'll be no need for holy temple. When the kingdom itself, a new heaven, and this transformed earth, a new earth, will become the temple itself of the living God. For there'll be no more need for myself or Father David or any of the priests, because we will be in the presence of the one and only great high priest, our Lord and God and Savior, Jesus Christ. And what a glorious day that will be. As you were, as children or as adults, baptized and christened, and made temples, dwelling places of the Holy Spirit, so too this concrete and mortar became a dwelling place of the living God. As you were washed with water in the font of holy baptism, Father David sprinkled the walls of this holy temple with the holy water, the sanctified Jordan water this morning. As the gift of the Holy Spirit was imparted to each of you at the time of your chrismation, so too I sealed this holy temple with its cardinal points, with the sacred and holy chrism, imparting thereby the gifts of the Holy Spirit to this very building, that it is church, and that we together are church. May our good God look upon your sacrifices, and that's what this temple exemplifies, your love for Him, our triune God, the sacrifices which you have made joyfully to build and adorn this holy temple. May He look upon your sacrifices with great pleasure. You know, as magnificent as this is, and it is, it's pretty pitiful in God's eyes. You know, don't forget, He compares this to the kingdom. He compares this throne, our holy altar, with His altar, His throne in the kingdom. He compares our clergy and our altar boys, deacons and priests, the choir and the chanters, with the angels, with the cherubim, so we have to admit that really in God's eyes what we offer Him is rather pitiful, but it's much cherished simply because it doesn't measure up to the kingdom of God, or our singing doesn't measure up to the singing of the cherubim and seraphim and the angelic hosts who sing continuously, holy, holy, holy. Even though we might not measure up to that, brothers and sisters, He loves what we offer even more than that. He honors what we offer even more than that. Why? How can that be? Well, think for yourselves, you who are parents. When your children bring home artwork, you don't know which way to hold it. They make out this way, that way. You have to smile when they say, "Mommy, Daddy." You know what it is. You mumble something. But it gets placed, a strange place in our culture. It's the place of our refrigerator. So that we can see it often. I don't know about you, but my mother, God rest her soul, kept all of that stuff for myself and my two sisters. Boxes and boxes of things we didn't even know what they were when we looked at them. To her, they were more precious than any artwork, more precious than any jewelry she had. And I'm sure it's the same with you. Those homemade Father's Day cards, the homemade Valentine's that you get from your children. They're pretty pitiful when we compare them to Renoir. They're not. But in our eyes, they're more precious. More precious than anything like that. And so it is with this temple, brothers and sisters. We offer our best. It's like your children offer you their best. We offer our best to God, and He accepts it with great joy and great pleasure. But this day comes with some threat, and that's why now I'll share a warning with you that I shared with your clergy and your parish council last night at dinner. God forbid that this temple, for our faith, which we proclaim in this temple, for the love of our God for us, the God whom we worship in this temple, God forbid that any of that should become a source of pride for us. That will ruin all the beauty that you offer. You may as well take the artwork off the refrigerator and throw it in the trash. If it's done with pride, you need to stay humble. Y'all didn't do this. We heard that in this morning's epistle. Really, you didn't do it. God is the builder, Dr. Samir read for us from the epistle. You say, but I contributed, and I contributed generously, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of dollars, hours of man's power. Where'd y'all get that money? Where'd you get the skills to give you the job to earn that? It's not because you're good people. It's because you're gifted people. And a gift comes from something. Let me call it. You might be good people. But what I meant by that is goodness is no guarantee for success in this world. Holiness is no guarantee that you'll be rich. What does that say about good people? They're bad, that they're immoral, that they're unholy? Absolutely not. In many ways, they're more holy than we are. And possess much more goodness than we do to bear if they have to bear. But brothers and sisters, you are a gifted people. And the gift comes from somewhere. And in this case, the gift comes from someone to you. So be a grateful people. Grateful that you are a gifted people. Gifted first and foremost by the gift of the Father of His only begotten Son. He gave us the gift of salvation and eternal life in His only begotten Son. And He loved us while we were yet sinners, Scripture tells us. So that which you offered back to Him and offered back for the building of this temple, monetarily and physically, emotionally, because I know when you build something, there's always rocky roads to go down. Egos that get hurt, patience that gets tested, but y'all made it. And we thank God for that. Be a grateful people and a humble people, an authentically humble people. Not false humility, but an authentically humble kingdom. That means who you are, not compared to the person sitting next to you or behind you. Ultimately, that's not the test of our holiness or our goodness. It's who we are, honestly, when we don't look in the mirror, but when we look into the eye of our Savior Jesus Christ. He is the measure of our goodness. He is the measure for our holiness. He is the measure for our generosity. He is the measure for our keeping of the gospel. He is the measure for our love. To be an authentically humble people, a grateful people this day. Believe me, there's enough pride going around about this building, around this building, a holy pride. But it doesn't come and can't come from this congregation. It comes from me, your Father in God, the priest, your brothers in God, your fellow Christians in other parishes, your sister parishes around. They're all, we all, are very proud of you. But don't tarnish your good works, brothers and sisters. Silver is beautiful until it turns black. Your good work is shining silver. But as soon as you become proud of it, even quietly, privately, it begins to tarnish. And what you end up with is something that belongs in a garage sale rather than a genius shop. May God bless this center with all of his holiness. May he fill it with all of his gifts. May it stand not just as a testimony of your love for him, but more importantly, crowned by that cross, may it stand as a testimony to the world of his love for his creation, for each and every one of us, for each and every one of us inside, each and every one of us outside are the apple of all God's eye. To him be glory and light and praise and thanksgiving, and to you be salvation, now and for all ages. Amen.